Turn with me to Proverbs 4:16. We're only going to cover a couple of verses tonight, Lord willing. Maybe shorter than usual. Proverbs 4:16 says, "For they sleep not, except they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away, except they cause some to fall." This is speaking of the wicked there in verse 14, where it says, "Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men." And this is one of the reasons why we want to stay away from these people, because they are desperately wicked. These people are actually planning and conniving and scheming and staying up, not even getting sleep, because they want to do evil. Let's look at that first phrase there. "For they sleep not, except they have done mischief." Mischief is defined as evil plight or condition, misfortune, trouble, distress. In Middle English, often need, want, poverty. Now, I included that definition just because it is number one, and I usually like to put number one in there. But as you see there, it says in Middle English. That's what the ME stands for. Middle English was from 1150 AD to 1470 AD. Old English was from the 5th century to the 12th century, like up until 1150, going way back. You couldn't read Old English, I don't think, at all. You probably couldn't even read Middle English. Look at the old Wycliffe Bible. That would have been Middle English. Wycliffe was in the late 1300s, and it's very, very difficult to read. And Old English would look like another language to you, pretty much. Modern English is from 1470 or the early 1500s until the present day. This is just a side note, just that you might be interested in knowing this. People today say that, you know, the King James, that's an old English, and we need a modern English version. They don't know what they're talking about. The King James is not in old English. It's not even in Middle English. It is in modern English. They just don't know what modern English is. It's what is considered early modern English. So anyway, the next time you hear somebody say the King James is old English, tell them to go look up what they're talking about, because they don't know what they're talking about.
So what do you call the English that we are speaking or using nowadays?
Barely English? I guess late modern English. I don't know. I mean, we're still in modern English. So English hasn't fundamentally changed since the 17th century, since the King James was written. It's roughly still the same. Some definitions have changed, some spellings have changed, but there hasn't been a fundamental change like there was, you know, hundreds of years prior to that. So then we go on to number two. Number two is what you would think of when you think of mischief, is harm or evil considered as the work or an agent, the work of an agent, or due to a particular cause, an injury wrought by a person or other agent, an evil arising out of or existing in certain conditions. So mischief is evil or harm that is done by somebody. And this is one of those words that if you're not versed in the King James, when you hear mischief, what do you think? Like some cute little thing a kid's doing, right? All right, you're full of mischief, little guy. And we downplay the word, and it doesn't carry with it the connotation like it does in the dictionary, like it does in the King James. Same thing with the word fool, right? When you call somebody a fool, you probably mean they're a practical joker, or, you know, the class clown or something. Whereas when the Bible uses that term, it's not referring to that in a lighthearted way at all. There's lots of words like that that have changed meanings. So they sleep not, except they have done mischief. So except they've done evil and caused harm to somebody, they've wrought injury on somebody. That's what that's saying. Now it's interesting, I found this interesting, that righteous men can't sleep when they have done mischief. Evil people can't sleep except they've done mischief. Let me give you a couple of verses here. Psalm 38 and verse 3. So you and I, if we've done mischief, if we've done evil, then we're going to find it hard to fall asleep at night, because our consciences are going to be nagging at us, and we're going to feel bad about it. And that is actually one thing that causes people to have insomnia, is a guilty conscience. It's hard to sleep if you have this feeling of guilt in you. David experienced this, Psalm 38 and verse 3. This is one of David's penitential psalms. You have Psalm 32, Psalm 38, and Psalm 51. And here he says in verse 3, Psalm 38, 3, "There is no soundness in my flesh because of thine anger, neither is there any rest in my bones because of my sin." So he's not getting rest in his bones, which could refer to sleep, or it could just refer to, you know, rest in your soul and your where you don't have any peace. But it certainly could refer to actual physical rest that his body was not getting. And then if you turn over to Psalm 32 and verse 4, Psalm 32 and verse 4, and we compare these two, shed a little more light on it. It says, "For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me, my moisture is turned into the drought of summer," Selah, "day and night, there is no rest in my bones," right? So he wasn't able to rest in the night because of his sin that he had committed with Bathsheba. I'm pretty sure Psalm 32 and 38 are referring to Bathsheba. He did do some other things, like the numbering of the people, and like 70,000 Israelites died as a result of that, I think it was. So there was other things that he did, but more than likely he's probably talking about the deed with Bathsheba. Psalm 51, I'm pretty sure, actually says in the superscription. Yeah, it actually says right there in the beginning of it. I don't know if it's superscription, but whatever that the title there, it actually says that after he had gone into Bathsheba. So righteous people can't sleep when they've done mischief. Wicked people can't sleep except they've done it. They've got to take care of it first before they can get a good night's sleep. And that's what this verse is telling us. I guess the reason they can't sleep is because they're conceiving mischief. They're planning it out. Psalm 7 and verse 14. Now for a child of God with a new heart, this might seem like incredible. Like that there's actually people out there that would lie awake at night, not because they just can't fall asleep, but because they're busy dreaming up evil and harm to do to people. But you know what? Those clowns that stole that trailer, how much you want to bet that they laid awake at night planning it out, thinking about it, how they're going to do it the next morning? I guarantee you they did. There's lots of people out there like that. Psalm 7 and verse 14 says, "Behold, he travaileth with iniquity and hath conceived mischief and brought forth falsehood." So conceive, like to bring it into his mind. So he's planning it out. He's figuring out how he's going to do evil and do harm. These people actually devise mischief on their beds, which is why they sleep not, except they've done evil. Turn to Psalm 36 and verse 4. It would not surprise me in the slightest if the likes of Bill Gates lies awake at night just planning and scheming, and has been probably for a long time, of how they were going to release this virus, how he's going to, you know, come out with a vaccine for it and force it on the population, or whatever he's doing that he's involved in. Wouldn't surprise me a bit that somebody like that literally lays awake at night dreaming up evil. I think about, this is probably a Freudian slip, but if you look up the George Bushisms, and in one of his speeches one time, he says that the terrorist, it was something like, "The terrorists are vigilant, and so are we. The terrorists never stop dreaming up ways that they can destroy America, and neither do we." And you wonder, okay, did you mean what you said, or did you, you know, was that a slip? But wouldn't surprise me. I don't know. He certainly dreamed up a lot of ways to destroy America. But anyway, Psalm 36 and verse 4 says, "He deviseth mischief upon his bed. He setteth himself in a way that is not good. He abhorreth not evil." Abhors a word, a stronger word for hate. So the kind of person that devises mischief on their bed doesn't hate evil. We're told that children of God should, right? The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, we're told. We're supposed to hate every false way. Right, I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way, the psalmist said there in Psalm 119. But not these people. They lie awake on their bed and just dream it up. I'll give you another one. Micah 2 and verse 1. Now, thankfully, We have Psalm 76 in verse 4, which says, "Surely the wrath of man shall praise thee, and the remainder of wrath shalt thou restrain." So there's a lot of wicked people out there, and I'm sure they could plot and scheme and do a lot of wicked things, but thankfully the Lord stops them. The Lord restrains that wrath, and they can't do a lot of the things that they would like to do. And we can take comfort in that. You know, Bill Gates isn't going to be able to do any wicked thing to us unless the Lord allows him. He may, but if the Lord doesn't lift up his hand, then his devices will be frustrated. Micah 2 and verse 1 says, "Woe to them that devise iniquity and work evil upon their beds. When the morning is light, they practice it, because it is in the power of their hand." I remember different times where I'd have something going on where I was trying to figure out at work, and sometimes I would lie there and think about it at night, and then sometimes the answer would come to me, right? But wicked people do that whenever they want to come up with some way to screw somebody or harm them. And these people are diligent. They talk about it. They study it, right? They're probably better students of evil than we are of the word sometimes, sadly. Proverbs 24 and verse 2. It says, "For their heart studieth destruction, and their lips talk of mischief." And this is, we're supposed to not envy such people as them. Evil men there in the previous verse. So they study it, they talk about it, it's on their mind so much, they go to bed thinking about it, and they can't fall asleep. And then you have an example, too, of the strange woman. And this is a different type of evil. But she likewise doesn't go to sleep until she found somebody to go to sleep with. Proverbs 7, verse 15 and 18. So yeah, she sleeps not unless she's done mischief too. Proverbs 7, 15. She says to this young foolish man that she's about ready to get, she says, "Therefore came I forth to meet thee diligently to seek thy face, and I have found thee." Verse 18, "Come, let us take our fill of love until the morning. Let us solace ourselves with loves." She's out there in the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night, right? She's dressed with the attire of an harlot, and she's not going to go to sleep until she finds somebody to go with her, right? They sleep not, except they have done mischief. So it's not just men, it's women that do it too. And then the second part of that verse, "And their sleep is taken away unless they cause some to fall." They're going to wake up in the middle of the night and not be able to fall back asleep if they haven't accomplished their evil machinations, which is pretty sad, really. But there are wicked people out there. We have an example here in Acts 23 that would actually deprive themselves of their own bodily needs until they had killed the Apostle Paul. Acts 23 and verse 12. So these types, not only would they go without sleep, they would go without food until they had done evil. Acts 23 and verse 12. "And when it was day, certain of the Jews banded together and bound themselves under a curse, saying that they would neither eat nor drink till they had killed Paul." Now, I don't know if these guys all died of starvation and thirst or not. If they were men of their word, they would have, because their plots were found out and Paul was rescued from them. It would have been interesting if the Spirit would have told us what happened to these guys. More than likely, they would have said, "Well, you know, that oath was just kind of more like guidelines, you know, not really." It wasn't exactly, you know, a promise. There was a proviso in there. It was unspoken, you know. If we don't catch them within 3 days, then we can drink, you know. You know how people are. But then on the other hand, righteous men, they won't sleep until they have done the good that needs to be done. David was not going to sleep on his bed until he had found a place for the house, or for God. He had found a house for God in Psalm 132, 3 through 5. Psalm 132, 3 through 5. David said, "Surely I will not come into my tabernacle of my house, nor go up into my bed. I will not give sleep to mine eyes, nor slumber to mine eyelids, until I find out a place for the Lord, an habitation for the mighty God of Jacob." So David was so concerned about the house of God, which was the temple at that time, that he was making plans to build, though the Lord wouldn't allow him to build it because he was a man of war. But he was able to lay up all of the supplies for it, and then Solomon would build it. But David was not going to give sleep to his eyes, slumber to his eyelids, until he had found a place for the Lord. And I remember Pastor Boffy reading writing to us this verse back years ago whenever we were looking for a place for the church to meet, that we had lost our meeting place or something. And he said, you know, we ought to be serious about this and find a place for the church to meet. So that takes care of Proverbs 4:16. Now we move on to Proverbs 4:17.